I'll ask you the same question that we asked people in the American Hockey League when it was announced that there was going to be an AHL team in Toronto, just a short car ride from the Air Canada Centre where the Leafs are playing. Is there a danger in having a D-League team so close to the big team?
You know, we don't think so.
Physically close, I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of the interesting things when you take a look at our league is, you know, NBA parent clubs have varying philosophies on proximity. There's some teams that, you know, want their team very close, you know, frankly, almost across the street, and others who actually place a value on greater distance, you know, a direct flight away from, you know, out of market, et cetera. And so it's an organizational decision. We've had great success under any model. If you look at our league, we operate in different types of markets, buildings, proximity to the NBA parent club. There's really not a cookie cutter approach within our league. And so for us, you know, it's not, you know, there's no one way of doing it. For the Raptors, we actually think Mississauga is a terrific market. Certainly, you know, we worked with them very carefully on the business side of launching this team and felt like there was just an enormous opportunity in that market in particular. But certainly the Hershey Center in Mississauga as well is a great venue. I think it's certainly an NBA Development League appropriate venue and really, frankly, a hub for youth sports in that area where we think there are other benefits that can accrue as well.
So, Malcolm, is it possible that people show up at the Hershey Center on, say, a Monday night and see somebody who was playing for the Raptors on Sunday afternoon at the ACC? How many times can they send players back and forth between the two teams?
Absolutely. There's no limit to, you know, the degree to which they can send players back and forth. And, you know, Masai from the beginning has been, you know, very forthright in, you know, his belief in the NBA Development League in general, but also the role that it can play within MLSE and the Toronto Raptors organization. And, you know, what you've seen happen within our league, if you take a look at a few stats from this past season, D-League experience at the NBA level is happening at unprecedented levels. We had a record 38% of end-of-season NBA rosters last season with D-League experience, including 10 teams with 7 or more players. When you talk about player movement, we had a record number of players, D-League players, called up to the NBA, and 70% of those players went on to earn NBA contracts through end-of-season. Meanwhile, we also had a record of NBA players being assigned from the NBA to the D-League. And so, again, movement between the two leagues is happening at record levels. And lastly, I would add, you know, the first-round draft class last year, 50% of that class played in the D-League at some point. And notably, on a year-over-year basis, we saw first-round draft pick, the length of assignments, increase 50% from 18 days to 27 days. And so I think that speaks to broader trends that you will certainly see between Toronto and the Raptors 905, that NBA head coaches and GMs have increasingly recognized the Development League as an effective, efficient way to develop talent.
What about the developing Canadian talent? Because when you look at some of the names on this roster for the Raptors 905, I mean, you have Sim Bular, you have Nick Wiggins, who's the brother of Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if that's necessarily a role for your league, but for the Raptors, that seems to stand out for them. How could you see that contributing to a success of a team in Mississauga?
I absolutely view it as a big factor in the success, you know, in the lead-in in terms of the popularity of basketball in market and country and the success of players from the market, from the region, and from the country, frankly, you know, is only accelerating. And so we actually, you know, would expect, and I know the Raptors organization has talked about this as well in terms of, you know, roster positions and developing talent overall for within the Toronto Raptors organization, but also the role that it can play to grow the game and grow talent into the basketball system overall. You know, we are, I think part of our mission is to help NBA dreams come true, and whether you're a player, a coach, aspiring GM, a referee, et cetera. And so certainly this provides an additional opportunity, one based in Canada, one that, you know, when I first met with Masai earlier this year, and, you know, we really started to gain momentum at All-Star, we talked about the role not only that this team can have for the Toronto Raptors, but also for the market and for the region and for those who aspire to play the game and participate in the game at the highest level this is what this league represents.
In conversation with Malcolm Turner, president of the NBA's D-League, I would also think, Malcolm, that given the fact that a lot of players are being drafted, and this is nothing new, but a lot of players are being drafted at a very young age, you're almost, the D-League in some ways almost serves as an important role as just kind of giving players an idea about what it takes to be a professional athlete, doesn't it? You're not in a school. You may have to do a little bit of traveling to get to your workout facility. It's, you know, you're not going to class. I mean, there's a lot of differences in life when you become a professional athlete. And in some ways, this is a good learning curve. This is a kind of a gentle learning curve for some of these guys, isn't it?
No question. It's a great point. A learning curve, not only about, you know, playing the game, but being a professional. And, the common refrain that we hear from NBA coaches and GMs for younger players, they can't always give them NBA minutes, and you don't get better by sitting. But one of the things that the D-League represents is an opportunity, yes, to play and focus on your skills and things of that nature, but also just the notion of being professional and what it takes to be a professional and the training regimen and the things you have to do outside of the game and off court. It's very important. And, you know, that's one of the attractive things, and I think one of the drivers for the Raptors is, you know, launching the Raptors 905. They can employ their system, NBA-style coaching, NBA-style training, all within the Raptors family, if you will. And so I think it's a great point and one point that's really resonating across our league with other NBA teams.
And, of course, here in Toronto, all you have to do is watch Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph, very much a product of time in the D-League, is he not?
No question. No doubt about it. It's, Corey is really, you know, he's the type of player that, you know, when we take a look at, I talk about our mission and helping to enable NBA dreams come true. Corey, quite frankly, you know, is one of those examples. You know, someone who, spent time in the Spurs organization and came to our league and continued to progress with his skill development. And we're a platform for exposure, a platform for development. And, you know, he is one of many who have used our league as a springboard to greater success. You know, everyone, players have different points in time where their development really starts to flourish and grow, and that's why we consider our business really a strategic asset where we are creating value throughout the NBA system from a development standpoint, again, whether you're a player, coach, referee, so on down the line.